Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
And welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show. I'm so glad that you've joined us today. We're going to be going off of script. We're not going to be doing a lot about estate planning, but we're going to talk more about the faith attribute of the Legacy and Faith Show. And with me today, I have some very special guests in the studio, and I'll very quickly introduce them, and then we'll talk about why they're here. So first, I have Isaac Wandawai. Isaac is a very good friend of mine and a pastor in Indonesia. And so that's really going to be the premise of the show today, which is we're going to be talking about what is God doing in Indonesia. And so Pastor Isaac, welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show today.
Hey, thank you, Paul, for inviting me. Yeah.
Absolutely. We're glad to have you here. And then also in studio is somebody who is dear to my heart. It just so happens that she is my daughter, Rebecca. Rebecca also went to Indonesia with me, and then likewise her sister, my other daughter, Gabriella. The three of us went to Indonesia over Christmas, and we partnered with Pastor Isaac to do some missions work. We also had some time of vacation, and so Rebecca is in here as well. And Rebecca also works at my firm, so she has to see me all the time. She can never get rid of her father. So Rebecca is going to be sharing some insights and some things that we did in Indonesia as well. So Rebecca, glad that you're finally on the show.
Yes, thank you.
All right, very good. Well, and so I kind of set up the premise of today's show, which is I wanted to give more of a world perspective of what's happening and what is God doing in missions today. And for me, I think Indonesia is a fascinating place because you know, before I really started researching and thinking about Indonesia, the things I heard was that Indonesia has an extremely high Muslim population. And so in our worldview, specifically as Christians, we walk into a nation or we start thinking about a nation in terms of percentages of have they heard the gospel, what is happening in that part of the region. And so for us to walk into a very Muslim nation, there's some connotations that I think are actually erroneous when we take that perspective instead of being a little more prepared and a little more open-minded. And so, first of all, Pastor Isaac, you and I met when you actually lived in the United States. And so, why don't you catch the listeners up a little bit about your background and how we got to know each other and a little bit of your journey personally.
I come in state. I think what I do here, I got married here.
Got married here. That's always a good thing.
Yeah. But the point is my wife's still Indonesian.
Yeah. She's still from Indonesia.
Yeah. And after that, I continued in the Bible school.
Okay.
Dominion College and with the CFC.
The Christian Faith Center, yes.
Yeah, and after that, and I surprised just bumping in the CFC North and meet Paul Grant.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so at that time, back in the early 2000s, Christian Faith Center opened up a second campus, which is up in the South Everett area, and that's off 132nd in Everett. And when they opened up that new campus, my wife and I lived up north in Shoreline, so we were driving all the way down to SeaTac to go to church. And by the opening up of that new facility, we got to know each other because we started going to the north campus together.
Yeah.
Who knew? You should have run. I mean, now you've been stuck with me for at least 15 years. So that's good. So you went to Bible school here.
Yeah.
And so you're trained as a pastor. And eventually, through different events, you needed to leave the U.S. because your wife's work visa ran out, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Is that an accurate story?
Mm-hmm.
And you headed back to Indonesia. So when you left the States and went back to Indonesia, what are some of the things that you went through as you entered back into your home country?
Yeah, this is what happened. I remember a time when we came back, the crisis hit here when we sell the house and everything.
Right.
And when we start in Indonesia, we start from zero again. Probably this is picture we have to see. And here we can work just one work and, you know, we can get something to support ourselves and, you know, you can do help and ministry. But Indonesia is not like that. We have to take couple of work, you know, you have to.
Yeah, multiple jobs.
Multiple job. And my wife and I, when we start something like that, and not like situation in here. People probably know you and support you, but I think we have to self-support. And even right now, but God is so good.
Yes.
After he you came, I remember when you came in December and share something. It's powerful. It's really changing our life.
Oh, very good. Well, we'll get there. So you've started over 18 churches in Indonesia.
Yes.
So talk about your heart for your own country.
When I'm here, you know, sometimes we live in the life of content. We have everything. But you know what? I'm still remember what God's calling. When God's calling you, he's not stop calling you until you get it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And he spoke to me and remind the nation, especially I'm from Papua, and God showed me something like that. For first time, it's my wife. She struggled to get the vision. We talk about it and share. But after that, because God working in not my heart, it's my wife's heart, it's combined us to become brave and take the chance back over there.
Yeah, it's very important to have the buy-in and the same vision in marriage and in relationship, correct? So I can be off to the races, but if I'm leaving my wife behind, then I'm probably going to be stumbling along the way because I'm just out in front of everything. It's phenomenal at how much the Lord uses our spouses. I don't care if it's the man or the wife. Mm-hmm. The Lord uses our spouses to bring in and govern exactly where we're supposed to be at the right time.
Yeah.
It's kind of my nature that I just love to start stuff. I mean, I am out of the gates. If anyone's ever taken the Colby test, it's a test about how you naturally lead. I'm what you call a green, which is a fast starter. I mean, I will see an idea and I'm out to the races. And so, so even like starting this radio show, it's just like my staff and I were praying one day and it's just like, you know, I think I should start a radio show. And it's just like, okay, there's no turning back. I had this idea. We're done. So let's go. But if I don't have the buy-in of my spouse, then I am going to be setting myself up as being slowed down, as being hindered. And oftentimes what I have found is that my wife is a voice of God's timing in my life because I love to just get going. And so so that's great. So you have buy-in of your wife. And now Papua is the furthest east part of Indonesia. Mm-hmm. So for listeners, if you think, if you can think in your mind about the world map, you have Australia, and right above Australia, you have Papua New Guinea, and there's a really straight north-south line that splits one big island in that region. And the eastern side is Papua New Guinea, and then the western side is Papua, and that is under Indonesian rule. Mm-hmm. And so you're from that section.
Yeah.
You're from Papua. And you're actually from the very furthest northeastern city in Indonesia as well. So you are so close to being in Papua that you're the border. So you are the last city in all of Indonesia.
That's true.
All right. and we were really blessed. We had the opportunity to go and visit that region. We also had the opportunity to go off to and play in some islands and have some vacation time and some beach time when we were there in December. And so that was a huge blessing for my family and I. So thank you for leading that up. Now, with the vision of starting churches, what's your heart? What do you envision for Papua? What do you see for your region?
When I start like 16 churches, and it's like something pondering in my heart to see God speak bigger than just before. before I'm just focusing in church, you know, to see something and let the, you know, church growing. But I see something through the scripture in 1 Kings 2, 1 until 4, and God showed me how important to raising up leader. And I just focus to see that because, you know, the situation of Indonesia right now. And sometimes we in U.S., we're thinking, oh, everybody like us. Everybody want doing good, something like that. But not really like in Indonesia. When you stand up with your faith, you have to serious, 100%. You have to fire with God. You cannot down that. And you have to see how God's working to you and helping other people. It's my heart. I want to see the Papuan people raise up. And they can be a success walking with God. And they can be leader in the nation because most of them, Indonesian be changed because most of them is Christian people, you know, they involved in the government, they're helping them. It's what I love about Bible. It's good news.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and we helping other people to grow.
Yeah, to get that good news. So you mentioned that there's a lot of Christians. Now, specifically in Papua, mm-hmm. there's the balance between Christian and Muslim is actually fully reversed, which may surprise a lot of people.
Yeah.
So in Papua, the predominant faith is Christian-based.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, again, as I mentioned at the top of the show, we hear statistics that say that Indonesia is very Muslim-orientated in their faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that – but yet – there's a pocket of space in Indonesia where that's reversed. So how did that really come to being? How is it that this one island specifically, this one section of Indonesia has been able to rise up in Christianity and hold its Christianity over the centuries?
Start from 1855. It's the missionary came from Germany, two of them, and come to Papua and start to share the gospel. And after that, we know the missionary came from U.S., mm-hmm. Don Rickardson, if you know the story about that. Then they came to spread the gospel. And you can see the atmosphere of Papua is different like in Java because we're very open and the people is like honest to, you know, accept each other. I believe it's because the gospel already planted before and changed the atmosphere. And start from that, as many people accept Jesus. I can name it and we can tell story hour and hour how God impact them.
Yeah.
Even the people in the village, how they meet God through the missionary came is miracle. It's miracle. It's amazing thing it's God done. And because the Papua believe we have tribe, we have a king of the tribe. And sometimes a king of tribe is been hit by the gospel, is open his heart and one field start changing.
Yeah.
It's been long time ago, before we joined with Indonesia. It's the power of the gospel enter the Papua.
Yeah, and as I've learned more about Papua, what I've really seen is that there's just been a grace on that island that when the gospel was preached, there was just a hedge of God almost saying, this is going to be mine. I'm not allowing someone else to come in with a false gospel, and I'm going to preserve this area. Well, when we get back from break, we're on a break here right now, and so when we get back, what I'd like to do is start having more of an open discussion between all three of us. That what did we do when we went to Indonesia? What's our vision collectively together that we want to do? So thank you for tuning in today to the Legacy and Faith Show. We're talking more about the faith aspect, but we do estate planning. As far as the legacy component, we are also Christians. We have a radio show, as you know, and so we're glad you've tuned in. You can get more information about what we do, whether it's as a law firm or whether it's as our Christian lives. You can head over to our website at legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts. You can download a bunch of our podcasts. There's educational opportunities, and there's also ways that you can communicate with us. So thank you for tuning in to the Legacy and Faith Show, and we'll be right back. Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And welcome back. We're happy that you stayed the course with us. I have in studio with me today Pastor Isaac from Indonesia and my daughter Rebecca. And so, Rebecca, let's start getting a little bit of your voice into today's show. In December, the three of us, your sister Gabriella, you and myself, we went over to Indonesia. Of course, that leaves out your mom. So mom decided to stay back for this particular trip, but the three of us went. And we went and teamed up with Pastor Isaac to go over specifically to Papua. What are some of your impressions, or what are some of the things that when you were there impressed you and or impressed on you about Papua and where that nation is today in their spiritual growth?
Yeah, I mean, you can tell that the people are hungry for more, especially when we visit churches. You can see that the young people, it's something when an American comes to their country and visits, but...
Yeah, we're rock stars.
Yeah, I mean, everyone wants to take pictures, and that already gives me a step up and an open door to just talk to them honestly about my story and my testimony. And they already have open ears. They want to hear what I have to say. And so it's such an advantage to be able to go in and just tell them about the love of Jesus and kind of reawaken maybe dreams that they've had. Because I know that a lot of people in Indonesia and maybe other countries, their dream and their goal in life is just to come to America.
Right.
Like that is the goal of life, is to come to America. And so it's such an amazing opportunity to be able to go in and speak to people and say, hey, like there's more than just coming and visiting a different country. Like Jesus has you here for a reason. And so to be able to reawaken dreams in them, like what would it look like to be someone that influences my community and my family and my school. And so, remind them their purpose and why they are where they are.
And you had a real opportunity to mix a lot with that age group. And it's not just because you're of equal age. It's because there really is a strong community in the youth. Isaac, you mentioned that God is raising people up. And I think it really starts at the teenage and college level, though, that be those upper teens, those younger 20s. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things, Isaac, that you see in that age group that gives you hope for Indonesia?
I like about the young people, as you know, especially teenager and college student. Now they hunger about the reality of God. You know, everywhere right now, people want to have a power, see something, movie and everything. And I think we can find in many different places. But especially in Papua, they really hunger. They want to know reality of God in their life. Mm-hmm. And when you share something and strongly 100% for commitment to Jesus, then when they see your life is real and being changed, they automatically jumping and they want to follow Jesus, but they want to see the reality is being influenced by God not just like fake, you know.
Yeah, it's not just theology that they want. They want the taste of the living God.
Yes.
Correct?
Yeah.
Now, we were in Manokwari, and there we teamed up with a specific church there. And that church has a real focus on worship.
Yeah.
And it was quite an amazing place to walk into. And again, it breaks a lot of the stereotypes that I personally had coming to Indonesia, because I thought that it was going to be a much harder place to toil with. Now, we had a different experience in Jayapura, to where there was some of that spiritual battle. Yeah. But in Manokwari, specifically with this church, Rebecca, you led some worship there. You had a lot of time. You did a lot of practice with this group of individuals. And you had that opportunity to really get to walk beside them as they worshiped, and you saw their work ethic. You saw some of the things that they're trying to do in the name of Christ. So tell us a little bit about what was it like to jump into an entirely different culture, into a completely different church. A lot of them didn't speak English, and so you had to work through some of that and yet put together an opportunity to create an amazing evening of worship that you put together. So what are some of your experiences in working with that age group in Papua?
Yeah, so first of all, the team, I don't think I've met such talented and smart individuals. I mean, here we have opportunities to really get better at our craft. And so
get better.
And you have money and you can take classes and you can get instructors and do private classes. And so over there, they don't have those opportunities. And so most of the people on the team, so I had a full band, and most of the people on the team had learned from YouTube, and that was their instructor. And
amazing.
I mean, I kid you not, these kids were incredible. And so I had one person on the team, and he could literally pick up and play every instrument. And so
and he's never had an instructor.
Never. He learned from YouTube solely. And so the fact that he could sit down at drums and he could play very well, and then he could go and play piano way better than I can. And I've been playing since, you know, I was four.
Yeah. And so in other words, those lessons didn't really pay off that your father was paying for. Is that what I hear? Okay. Well, we'll just keep moving right along.
So, I mean, it starts with them, their work ethic and their desire to be good. Because, I mean, I believe we're called to excellence. And I mean, that team was an excellent team. And so they bring their worship to the Lord. And it was just mind blowing. And so the original goal of the concert was to have about an hour of worship, break it up in half, and have a small time to preach and talk to the community. And I mean, we ended up going for 3 hours, and it was ended up turning into spontaneous, and we had a dance party. And I mean, the people just wanted more and more. I mean, I'm sweating. I sat down. I was done. And I mean, they're still going. And so this band up there for 3 hours, and they just wanted to keep playing.
Almost unfazed.
Yeah. And the community just kept going and going. And I mean, they were involved the entire time. There was never a time where they sat down and they were also done. Like, they would have gone all night if we would have let it.
Yeah. And Isaac, that really brings me back to what you said, is that in order to be a Christian in another nation, it's either you're sold out or you're not going to make it.
Absolutely.
There's like no lukewarmness. So unfortunately, a lot of people in the American church use church as a convenience. It's like, well, it makes me look good, or it makes me feel good that I go to church, and it makes me feel close to God. You know, that's not really the option in Indonesia, even in Papua, where Christianity is more accepted. But yet there is a constant influence of Muslim religion and of the Muslim theology trying to come in and steal that heritage that has been around Papua. And so talk a little more about the current environment in Papua, because really what I hear from Rebecca is they're just simply sold out.
Yeah.
So they're not getting tired of worshiping.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are some of the things that you see as you raise up the next generation?
If you know the word Papua, it means losing father. The one of the writer is wrote about this book about Papua. The word Papua, it's meaning losing father. It's mean you remember when God says we don't, he cannot leave us alone and he will give Holy Spirit. And through my experience, when I meet God, it's born again, it's been touched, and I see different. I see I need God as a father to in my life. And through the experience, people, when they accept Jesus, they just love him because it's what they need, the core need in their life. They need somebody, person, because we don't have father at home like in here. I got experience here. I have adoption parents in Everett. They're really good, become example, become the father and mother in here. But when we accept Jesus, it's something is boiling in our heart and we love it and we go 100%.
Yeah.
To love God.
Yeah, so there's really no option. Well, I want to thank you guys for coming into the studio. As a matter of fact, we have a lot more to say, so we're going to do another show together. But that's the end of our session for today. So thank you so much, listeners, for joining us on the Legacy and Faith Show. Again, you can go to legacyandfaith.com. You can learn more about estate planning, more about what we're doing for the work of the kingdom of God. Legacyandfaith.com, podcasts, information, the ability to get a hold of us. So thank you for joining the Legacy and Faith Show. Thank you, Pastor Isaac. Thank you, Rebecca. That's another edition for the Legacy and Faith Show.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.